Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Carlos Dunlap was with the Cincinnati Bengals since 2010, and during the middle of this season was traded to the Seattle Seahawks. He also is a restaurant owner called Honey Uninhibited, and he's kind enough to join us right now on the show. Carlos, thanks for the time. Good to catch up with you. Tell me a little bit about this restaurant that you got cooking.
We opened up July, just before, obviously, the pandemic, a few months before the pandemic, in 2020 is a blur. It seemed like it never happened, but so we opened up in the pandemic, well, just 6 months before the pandemic, and we've been fortunate enough to push through and grind through. So now I'm just trying to figure out how to be, a better owner and continue to keep up with the growth of my business. We've been definitely very fortunate. People still want to eat breakfast with us.
So if I come in for breakfast at Honey Uninhibited, what's the go-to item on the menu that I have to have?
The go-to item while in season this year, the new reigning champion, is the Sweet Chick, which is our chicken and waffles. Mm. When we first opened, it was a short rib, Benny, and it was slow braised overnight. So, that speaks for itself for why it was a number one seller when we first opened. But now that the Sweet Chick, chicken and waffles, has definitely taken over, and you can get it as a Benedict or you can just get it as chicken and waffles. And that right now, without a doubt, is the number one. But I can't tell you how many people take pictures of our French toast and our red velvet pancakes. So you can't really go wrong. It's just whatever flavor you're into, that's what you got to do.
Now, we know you know how to get to the quarterback, but if you were in the kitchen, can you cook that stuff up, or you trust the people that are the professionals at it?
I defer to the professionals, but I definitely can. I definitely can do the French toast and majority of everything. My recipe would just be different from theirs.
You got it. Carlos Dunlap here with us on the show now with the Seattle Seahawks. So why'd you decide to get into the restaurant business? Was this something that you thought about maybe without knowing how much longer you're going to play, or it was just the right time to do so?
I just was preparing for life after football, and I've been training in Miami my whole career for, 11 years now, and I saw how the restaurants that do good breakfast were, had two-hour waits. But in my opinion, they weren't always consistent, and, they didn't have that Southern twang that I was raised with. So I was like, why not fill that void, supply and demand. I saw the demand for it, and I happened to come across an opportunity where I met a really good chef and a manager who – we're recently laid off, and I tried to, seize an opportunity, come up with a concept and bring the dream and the vision to life.
It's unbelievable. So you have an idea in your mind? You've been in the league since 2010. Do you have an idea how much longer you want to play?
No. I mean, in Cincinnati, it seemed like that window was closing in on me fast. But in Seattle, I got new life, and I feel lighter, healthier than I ever felt. So I feel like I can play as long as they'll have me. The way that they take care of their guys and, the way they handle their things,
When you walked in there, you said it felt like a new life. You were rejuvenated. What did you notice specifically right away about the culture, that John Schneider and Pete Carroll, Russell Wilson, all those guys bring Bobby Wagner to the Seattle Seahawks?
It's contagious. Immediately you feel it right away. It like draws you in. Like it makes you want to buy in and be a part of it. Like you can see that's the key for why they're winning. Because from the moment that I got off the plane to the car service they set me up, to the valet that greeted me at the hotel, everyone's all in on Seahawks and, you know, the Seahawks winning. From when I had to go around the city doing the physicals, I think it was, they call it Blue Friday. Every single person that I crossed in the city that day had on Seahawks gear or blue. And I did not know what it was until afterwards someone explained it to me. And I thought that was one of the coolest things that I ever experienced. You know, it rivals, you know, kind of how we were in Gainesville on Florida campus.
How do you look back at your time in Cincinnati?
I'm grateful for the opportunity. It definitely made me appreciate what I have now even more. You know, had I not gone through that, you know, I might have probably, you know, took for granted the opportunity that I had with Seattle. Cincinnati definitely made me who I am, a better person, a player, and, you know, obviously fortunate enough to do what I wanted to do there, you know, get the rookie record, the single season record, and the franchise record. And, you know, now, you know, the times have changed. They got new coaches, and the coaches didn't see me in their future vision. So, you know, as a businessman, I understand that, and I had to do what was best for my business, and that was to move forward, you know, adapt and adjust like we all have had to do in this pandemic. So
I gotta,
definitely a blessing.
I got to take you through the Instagram posts when you posted the sub packages and how you were at the last part of that. Can you take me through what was going through your mind when you did that?
Well, I had a million and one fans asking me why I wasn't playing and this, that, and the third. And you know, one of my friends made me aware of an article that just came out where the coaches said that I was just frustrated and not handling, you know, the demotion and or new role properly. And I just wanted to make people – I just want to give people a clear picture of what they were asking me to do, because I don't think they understood how low I was on the depth chart. So I just said, I was like, listen, this is what they're asking me to do. I don't know what y'all want me to do. I want to play too. I'm not asking to stand on the sidelines. So that was just me letting the fans know, you know, the depth chart update that was given to me, because it, you know, it wasn't on Bengals.com. So I just, you know, I showed it to them the same way that I got it. That was the way that I got it. So I gave it to them the same way, and that changed their perspective. And can't tell you how many people reached out and had their comments and thoughts about that, but obviously it had a negative impact with the team. You know, they expressed their, you know, frustrations with it, but there was no true problems because everyone was aware that is the actual current update, and that's what they wanted.
The team may not have liked it, but it got you out of there, and you got into an upgrade situation in Seattle. Did you know when you posted that this would probably be the nail in the coffin and this would get you dealt?
I mean, that wasn't the nail in the coffin. That was, I think that was just, you know, awareness of my frustration, because obviously I didn't communicate and I didn't go through or make everyone aware in the media. I just kind of, you know, like, this is my role. I was trying to figure out a way to make something happen with what they were giving me. And, you know, what they kept giving me was less and less. So obviously I became more and more frustrated. And then the worst part was having to answer all the questions to the fans, family, and everyone who's like, can't you help us win? Why are you not playing more? And, you know, as a competitor and a player that I am, I feel like I could, but that's not what I was asked to do. So the only way I, you know, could was, you know, let them know what I was asked to do. And as soon as they saw the new depth chart and they saw it the way that I got it, then they had a better perspective. So that was all that was. And obviously it made things worse, and it is what it is now, but I'm grateful for how I was able to end 2020 and start 21. I definitely grew a lot from that process. It is what it is now. I'm just ready to keep progressing forward from it.
Carlos Dunlap here with us. So you said that wasn't the nail in the coffin, that Instagram post. What was then?
when I actually fully accepted the new role and that the changing of the guard was when I posted that advertisement saying I was consolidating assets and I put my house up for sale. That was the probably nail in the coffin, was when I did that, because that's when I finally came to realize and accept that, you know, Cincinnati, this was the first time in my career that it was a real thing that I would no longer wear black and orange, that, you know, I would be wearing different colors to finish my career, and that it was, you know, that was coming more and more relevant and sooner than I expected or anticipated. Obviously, I didn't go into the season and, you know, train the way I did during the pandemic, trying to find a park that, you know, the police didn't kick me off of to get traded. So, you know, I never foresaw or foreseen that coming. But at the end of the day, that was a real thing for me. And when I posted that, that's when I accepted it, and I was committed to, you know, figuring out what was next and making whatever was next the best thing, you know, for me, because it was clear that they're doing what they wanted to do. So I had to do what I had to do. And the rest is history. And I was fortunate enough to come into a really great situation, which is super rare. So that just tells you, you know, someone above us all is looking out for my best interest. And he knows where my heart lies, and he knows where my passion is. And he gave me an opportunity to continue to pursue my passion with an organization that didn't want to do anything but help me be the best player at what they've seen me do great my whole career. So, you know, it couldn't have been drawn up any other way. You know, that just makes me feel like it was more meant to happen that way. Obviously, it's not the way that I would have liked to go about things, but there's a lot of love and respect still for Cincinnati and the front office team. You know, they still communicate and reach out from time to time as well. So I always think that I'll be welcome back, hopefully one day, you know, in like the Ring of Honor or whatever it is that they may invite me for, possibly, you know, holding the records. But right now my focus is just, you know, maximizing what's left of my career, because I feel like I have a lot of football left, and, you know, they just didn't see it in Cincinnati. So I had to put it on display in Seattle.
So even with you guys not seeing eye to eye at the end, do you think Zach Taylor and then also Lou, do you think they're the right people, even though you didn't agree with what they were saying in terms of your playing time, do you think they're building something in Cincinnati for the future?
I can't answer that question. I don't have that experience. I just know that they're committed to whatever their vision is. And it's clear that, you know, I was not one of those pieces. And, you know, it seems like AJ and Gino's time is coming too. So I guess it's a change of the guard. They want new faces. And, you know, they are the face. So that is what it is at this point. I just control what I can, and that's who I am, what I do, and how I play. And I think I did that with, you know, coming in hot as soon as I got touchdown in Seattle.
How far away do you think the Seahawks are from playing in this game once again that we're going to see coming up on Sunday?
Not far away at all. That's the most frustrating thing is I did not anticipate, you know, our season ending that early. Not that I overlooked the team or anything. I just felt like we had what it took, and we were doing what it took, and we were, and as a defense and as a team, we were starting to come together at the right time. You know, we just had won the month of December. Usually, you know, teams that win the month of December go into the playoffs hot. You know, that was one of the things PC always preached and talked about, and we were doing just that. So, but at the end of the moment, you know, the best team on the field that day won, and it wasn't us. So we're at home. We're about to be spectators as much as the rest of y'all.
Who wins this game coming up on Sunday between the Chiefs and the Bucs?
The best defense on the field on Sunday wins the game. That's my story. I'm always sticking to it.
So who will that be?
You know, you got to see who comes up to play, because it's truly any given Sunday. I know everybody hates that coin phrase because they feel like it's a cop-out, but that's honestly the truth. Like, whoever performs best that day in the stadium when the ball hits the foot and starts the game, that's who will win the game. A lot of times people, you know, in Vegas will make you think that you know who's going to win before you go in, but you really don't until you know who consistently takes advantage of their opportunities. And the team that consistently does that will win the game. And the one thing, you know, everybody loves to bet on is with Brady, because, you know, when betting with Brady, he typically shows up.
On the way out with Carlos Dunlap, did you see anything special in your time in Cincinnati with Joe Burrow?
Oh, man. I believe Joe Burrow is definitely going to be the future of the NFL. He has a lot of potential. He has a lot of heart. He cares. He's very passionate about what he does and getting better at what he does. You know, that right there is something, you know, which is clear that, you know, the Bengals organization saw, and I think the world got to see in him in the games that he was able to play in. It just sucks that, you know, he got hurt the way that he did, and now he's got to, you know, tackle the rehab process to get back to who he was. But I believe that he has more than enough ability and mental toughness to get to that. Like, everybody who's seen and came in contact with him says the same thing. So I don't even have to sit here and rant and rave about it. But, you know, I just can't wait to see him getting back. And obviously I'm still a Bengals fan until I play them, and I support my guys on the team, but now, you know, it's go Hawks. And this is my team now, and I want what's best for us. And looking forward to hopefully coming back with Seattle next year too.
Last thing I'll ask you, since you were a mastermind and finding a way to get yourself out of a situation and finding an upgrade, what advice would you give to Deshaun Watson, who's looking to get away from the Texans right now, it seems?
Always bet with yourself, because at the end of the day, you're the person that's got to live with it. You know, I took a significant reduction to make the Seattle scenario a reality when I realized how passionate the team had expressed interest in wanting me to come there, and the fans and everyone wanted me to come there. It was clear that it was a, you know, almost a one-size-fits-all type scenario where I could walk in, put that hat on, and blend right in, you know, the way that they set it up. And then, you know, I also called some former players who I respected that played for Seattle and in Seattle, and everyone as a consensus said the same thing about the city and the organization. So that right there, along with what my gut was telling me, allowed me to, you know, take that risk of going cross country, despite, you know, being nervous at first going cross country, because, you know, I'm an East Coast guy. I've always been East Coast, so going to the Midwest was a huge change for me. But now I'm headed to the Pacific, you know. So that was a definite change up for me. But grateful for that exposure, and I definitely feel like I've grown because of it. You know, I'm just grateful for the opportunity. I know I said that many times, but I truly am. And it's helped me a lot as a person and as a business person and as a football player.
I really think you should do this. You have Honey Uninhibited, the restaurant. You've had a stellar career. Maybe you should be Deshaun Watson's social media manager and direct what tweets he should send out.
No, I think it's very clear for him how frustrated he is,
yeah,
and that his future is probably coming to an end as well with Houston, but. You know, for a player, a young player like him, you know, it's very tough. Like, at the ultimate day, the best player, if you put the best players in a situation where everyone around them puts the pieces and or helps them to succeed or be the best person they want to be, I think, you know, my last season is a clear example. You know, I went from having one sack in six games to a sack per game. I went from 1-6 to 6-1 in 24 hours, you know? Like, it's clear that, you know, my love for the game was there. My ability to play the game was there. It's just that I wasn't in the picture for what, you know, the current guys wanted. And I have no no love lost for them having a clear picture of what they wanted, but my clear picture told me that I had more than enough ability to continue to play this game, so I had to stick with that. I wasn't going to let anyone, you know, discourage me from wanting to take on that challenge. So that's what I did. So Deshaun, we know, the world knows he has plenty of ability, and if he feels like, you know, that's not the scenario for him, then I too encourage him to do what's best for him at a young age so that he can enjoy and you know, reap the rewards of that while he still has that youth, because once he gets older, you know, it slows down a little bit, but he still will have more of an ability to play at a high level. But, you know, I encourage people to get that opportunity to have it at a young age. And, you know, I too now see, you know, why some of the NBA players make the moves that they do. And, you know, our contracts aren't quite set up like that. So it's a lot bigger risk for the football players, but, you know, the quarterbacks might be the closest to being able to get stuff like that done. Cause I think he has a no trade clause. So that's,
yeah.
He gets to be in the conversation. You know, I wasn't included in the conversation until you know, Mr. Brown and Troy and Duke made it a reality, and you know, they included my agent, and you know, we still weren't in the process, but you know, we had a little bit of a say because they needed to work the numbers.
Carlos, we appreciate the time. This is a great chat. You have a great offseason. Good luck with the restaurant. We'll talk down the road.
I appreciate it. Hope this is a positive interview, because this is definitely I'm grateful for everything that happened and what's to come because of it. And I'm just looking forward to moving forward and continuing to get better and be better.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.